Hello again, and welcome to our first episode of Solar Reading Myths for You. Without any unnecessary intros, we're gonna get right into it. So, we have introduction, of course. The ancient Greek civilization stretched across the Mediterranean, but all parts shared many of the same gods and heroes. And the stories about these figures are the Greek myths. Myths were how the ancient Greeks understood the world around them. They painted them on tableware, performed them in theaters, and even referenced them in courts of law. It is impossible to understand the ancient Greeks without understanding their myths and what these stories meant to them. But luckily for us, the way that the ancient Greeks included myths in every part of their lives ensured that these stories would survive for thousands of years. And by sharing them here together, we are carrying that tradition. Oh, beautiful. Okay. So, ancient Greece. The ancient Greeks lived in the area around modern-day Greece thousands of years ago. Even though ancient Greece was not a country, people were connected by speaking the same language and worshipping the same gods. And many of the myths about the gods happen in the cities and islands of ancient Greece. For example, we have Olympia, Argos, Delphi, etc. Those are real cities and they often appear in different myths. Next paragraph, city-states. Ancient Greece was not one big country like it is today. Instead, there were lots of independent city-states, individual cities and areas that were ruled by kings or governments. Transportation. There are also many islands in Greece, and ships were a particularly important mode of transportation for the ancient Greeks. Some city-states were islands, and sailing was the fastest way to trade goods and travel to them. Religion. The ancient Greeks worshipped lots of gods, many of whom were part of the same family tree. And it was also believed that the gods controlled every part of life. Okay. I'm not sure if we should just dive right into the myth or maybe talk more about how Greeks like told their myths about different creatures and stuff. You know what? I think we would move on to the next part, which is like the beginning of the world, the creation myth. And then in the next episode, I'm probably going to start it with some historical info from the book and then move on to the next myth as well. So that we have it all balanced, you know? Okay, so the next chapter is the beginning. To the ancient Greeks, myths were the same as history. They believed that all of the fantastical events in them had really happened once upon a time. The myths were their way of making sense of the past, even as far back as how the world was created. These are the stories of the very first gods and goddesses, the mystical beings who forged the earth and set rules for all others to follow. And the first one is the creation myth. Life began with chaos. This was the great chasm that was the universe. Chaos appeared with a massive yawn. And suddenly, everything else came into being. The first and most powerful of all the gods to spring from chaos was Gaia, the Earth. Alone, she created the spiraling mountains where the rest of the gods would eventually leave, as well as the sparkling sea which lay over the land. She also made the god Uranus, or the heavens, to rest above her. Next to appear from chaos after Gaia was Tartarus, the underworld, and Eris, or love. Finally, chaos created Erebus, or darkness, and Nyx, the night. Together, Erebus and Nyx created Aether, or brightness, and Emera, the day. These were the very first gods. And I am so worried that I messed up the names. Hope I didn't. Okay. Oh, and there's also this description. Gaia was clothed in mountains and oceans. Yeah, outfit of the day. Oh my god, I'm gonna have so much fun. So the most important ones out of all the gods that I just mentioned are Gaia and Uranus. So you can just remember those two if you want to remember anything. So Gaia and Uranus ruled as queen and king of the universe. At first, they were happy, like all couples are, right? And soon they had many children. Gaia gave birth to 12 giants. Wow. Who looked like huge men and women. These were the Titans. They lived on the earth and had many children of their own. Next, however, Gaia had the three Cyclops, each with one eye in the center of its head. And also the three Hecatoncheires. Now attention everyone. Who had 50 heads and 100 hands each. Okay? I mean, talk about multitasking, right? Uranus was disgusted. "My offspring are monsters," he cried. Uranus pushed the Cyclops and Hecatoncheires back into Gaia so he would not have to look at them. This caused Gaia terrible pain. Gaia was upset because Uranus did not love all his offspring. And she would never forgive him for how he had treated them. And then the next myth is the fall of Uranus. Unknown to Uranus, Gaia had been harboring a great deal of anger toward him for banishing their children, the Hecatoncheires and the Cyclops. I really hope we're done with the Hecatoncheires because this is a hard word to pronounce. Okay. Uranus's power has gone to his head, Gaia thought. Something needs to be done about it. But she could not defeat Uranus alone, because he could use his weight to overpower her. I'm reminding you, Uranus is basically the heavens, meaning he is the sky, while Gaia is the earth. So instead, she went to her brave son for help. This was the Titan named Cronus. And Cronus agreed to help Gaia conquer Uranus if he could then rule the universe. Smart kid. Gaia sharpened a piece of rock and used it to create a... trigger warning. We're gonna be talking about cutting off some body parts here. So yeah, just skip it if you don't want to hear it. Once again, Gaia sharpened a piece of rock and used it to create a sharp-edged sickle, which she took to Cronus. "My son," she said, "take the sickle and wait here until your father, Uranus, comes to visit me. Hide nearby, and when his back is turned, strike him." Cronus. Oh my god, I'm sorry. Okay. Oh. Cronus. Excited. Oh my god, these ancient Greeks. They were something else. Cronus, excited to have his father's power, grabbed it. The sickle, I mean. As Gaia had asked, Cronus waited until Uranus appeared. And Uranus did not notice his son lying in wait. So when Uranus turned away, Cronus jumped out at his father and cut him with a sickle. Well, I think you can guess where. Oh. It actually says, "Ah." I'm not gonna act it out, forgive me. But okay. Uranus screamed. But he could do nothing to fight back, because he was in so much pain. Can you imagine? From his wound, Uranus's blood spilled into the sea and onto the ground. And the blood that had fallen into the waves mixed with the salty water and began to foam. Gaia and Cronus watched as, from the foam, rose a giant scallop shell, which glided to the shore. The scallop shell opened to reveal a beautiful woman. This was Aphrodite, the goddess of love. I don't know why I'm always saying this, but I mean, I love saying it. Love. Okay. Meanwhile, the blood that had landed on the ground had given rise to three terrifying winged women. Their names were Megera, Tisiphone, and Alecto. Together, they were known as the Furies, goddesses of Yeah, that's quite unfair if you ask me. But it's really poetic how goddess of love was created at the same time as goddesses of revenge were. Really interesting. Oh, so about the Furies. They would punish men and women who committed murder by driving them mad. From what I can remember, I guess they would follow the person and just scream at them. So basically, all they can hear is the scream of Furies for the rest of their life. So yeah, it's quite the punishment. Okay, and what about Uranus, right? Uranus fled back to the heavens and gave up his rule over the universe to his son, Cronus. Gaia was overjoyed because her other children could now be freed. And because she basically did not have to sleep with Uranus ever since. This is not something you read for a child before bed, you know? But yeah, and honestly, I don't remember any of those details in my version of the books of the myths. So yeah. Yeah, it's really funny actually going back and understanding how I remember those myths. Because it all seemed so innocent and magical back then. It's still magical, right? But a lot more violent and like true crime this time instead. But yeah, that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're not irritated by my little remarks here and there, because, well, I can't help but comment on such things, because it's really some heavy stuff if you actually stop and think about it deeply. So yeah, I just thought I'd make that clear. But yeah, let me know if you liked it or not. Let me know if I messed up any of the names while reading those, and I'll see you in the next episode, hopefully. We have so many stories to unfold, to dive in, and I can't wait to read for you more. So yeah, see you in the next audio. I hope you have a wonderful day or night whenever you're listening to it. I'm sending you my kisses on the cheeks and big, big, big warm hugs as well.